Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the worship of God at Wallingford Presbyterian Church. I'm glad you're here on this beautiful July Sunday. We have the screen set up. We're going to share with you some of what took place this past week. You might remember that Pastor Taylor and I basically took off after the worship service last Sunday. We boarded a van with our youth group and headed off to southeastern West Virginia. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. We'll show you some slides, some pictures of some of the activities that that took place. We got back yesterday at 5:45. And so the sermon this week is going to be observations from the mission trip. We're going to share with you some of the observations that our youth had. I just want to remind some of you that Liz is on vacation and John Conahan is graciously serving with us. If you don't like any of the hymns, it's his fault.
Liz gave you the basic one, Liz.
Oh, that's it. We'll just blame Liz since she's not here. And our guest soloist this morning is actually not a stranger to many of us because he has sung with us, I think, in the Messiah Sing and maybe in a couple of other... come on out, John. And John Miles is here with us. So he's singing a beautiful piece, which I will have to speak to before he sings. But anyway... please remember to sign the black friendship pew pads, which you'll find towards the center aisle of each pew, and share those with others. My friends, the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let's take a few moments to share the grace and peace we have received through Jesus Christ. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Oh my, oh Lord, how good it is to be gathered by you in this place, to find time to pause, to breathe in your spirit, to reflect upon our lives, to notice the blessings that are around us every day that we miss because we're so busy, because we're too busy, because we make ourselves so busy. In this brief hour that we have together, bless our gathering, hear our prayers, hear the songs not only from our mouths but from our hearts and our spirits as we share our longing and our joy with one another and with you. Send your spirit among us, O Lord. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Please stand with me. Take time to smell the flowers, to roll down a grassy hill, to make a dandelion necklace, and bask in the warmth of our God.
We gather to rest in God.
Slow down the pace of your life. Take a deep breath. Share a cup of coffee with a friend, and bask in the warmth of our God. Enter this sacred space. Wait for the Spirit to stir. Feel Christ lift your burdens and bask in the warmth of our God.
So a word about our opening hymn. Yes, it's a new hymn. So let me just walk you through it. It's 397. And John will play through it one time for us so that we can get it in our ear. You'll notice at the end of the first phrase, "O look and wonder how good it is," there's a funny little bar with a couple of dots. That means that we're going to repeat that whole phrase all over again and then move on to the verses. And we'll do that every time we do. So you got to get your groove on. okay? Because we're going to have to move a little bit with this hymn. All right, we'll let John play it through one time for us.
Now is the time for young disciples, so any children are invited to come forward now. Good morning. Hi. We're so glad you're here. So I brought something today. I'll hold it up so the congregation can see. So what'd you say?
That's the earth.
That's the earth, right? What's another name for this? A globe, right? Here, let's look. Maybe we can point to some of the countries that we know here. Let's see. Can you point and see any countries that look familiar to you? Okay, yeah, there's South America. Mm-hmm. And the U.S., yeah, absolutely, right?
Australia.
Very cool. Good job, you guys. Yeah. Any other countries? Oh, yeah. Look at that. Mm-hmm. All the different countries in Africa. We have Canada, all different kinds of countries. Any others? Oh, yeah. Right? We have India. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we got all different kinds of countries here all across the world. And some of them are really close by, and some of them are far. Yeah, right? You're pointing to Greenland, right?
Absolutely. Very top, very bottom.
Could be very far away. So I bring this here today to talk to you about mission. And we'll come back to this globe in a minute. But have you ever heard the story of Abraham? Maybe Father Abraham has many kids, that song? Well, long, long time ago, God spoke to Abraham and said, "You will be a blessing to all the nations." And that's a promise that God gave to Father Abraham, knowing that a long time from then, Jesus would come, right? And then Jesus came. Right before he ascended into heaven, he said what we call something called the Great Commission, where he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you," right? So, in the word, the Great Commission, we have the word right there, mission, right? And that means to go and tell, basically. Go and tell of the good news of Jesus and that God loves us, right? And that God loves them and the whole world, really. And so, I wanted to talk to you about this because we just had a group of kids, actually, not quite as young as you, but still kids, we had our youth group go to West Virginia. Can we see if we can find that on here? Let's see. Here we go. So here we are, right? And we just went a little south, like down right in here. So it doesn't look that far on the map, right? Looks maybe just, maybe not even a whole inch, right? Just a little bit farther down. That's where we went on the map. And we went to help people in different ways. We did all different kinds of things in the community. And it was our way of showing through our actions that that God loves them and that we're trying to share that good news. And so now I have a question. To go all the way, let's see, let's spin this globe. Do we have to go all the way over here to be a missionary? What about over here? All the way at top here? No? No, why not? Because we can be a missionary right in our own town with our friends and family if we just show them that God loves them through our actions toward them and tell them about how much God cares for them and for the whole world, okay? So this week, let's try to think of ways that even in just talking to the people around us, that we can show that love and be missionaries to them. Sound good? All right, let's pray together. Dear God, thank you so much for blessing us and for sending us out to be your missionaries in this world. We pray for all the missionaries across the world who are spreading your good news, and we ask that you would help us every day to share that good news of Jesus with others and that love that you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See you guys, you can go to Sunday school. Thank you.
Friends in Christ, if we are brave enough to admit, we know that we strive to be strong and self-sufficient. But in truth, we are in constant need of grace. With faith and trust in the love of God, let us confess our need for forgiveness and God's life-giving grace. Please pray with me. Shepherding God, you are present in all the moments of our lives.
Holding us into the ways of abundant life.
You send prophets and leaders to model your compassion, and we so often prefer instead the ideals of our competitive world. Loving God, you are present in all the moments of our lives. Jesus invites us to simple discipleship, and yet we are tempted to measure our success by what we own, by what we possess. Merciful God, you are present in all the moments of our lives. You offer us grace sufficient for all our needs, and yet we so often seek validation of our worth from others, unwilling to believe that through Jesus Christ we are made one with you. Forgive us, God. Draw us back into your steadfast love and shape us into the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Beloved friends, God provides all that we need so that we might be made whole, and God is always ready to begin again with us. God loves us, and God forgives us. Thanks be to God. People of God, body of Christ, sisters and brothers, what shall we do in response to God's forgiveness? As God's own people, we will be merciful in action, kindly in heart, humble in mind, always ready to forgive as freely as God has forgiven us. And above everything else, we will be loving and never forget to be thankful for what Christ has done for us. Amen. Please be seated.
So we weren't quite sure where we were going to go this Sunday, which is why the scripture is not listed, but we're going to talk about mission, and as I said before, we're going to share some of the brief reflections that our youth group had. So I'll share with you a scripture from the closing chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, but first, let us pray. God of eternity, without beginning and without end, speak your word to us this day by the power of your Spirit, that hearing we may know your truth and live ever more faithfully for you. In Christ's name, amen. So it's what the passage is from Matthew is what Taylor's already alluded to with our children. And it's from chapter 28, the closing chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, beginning at verse 16.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And just a few words about the anthem. You know that our anthems, our music, are so often a sermon in and of themselves, as some of you were here last week and heard Cara sing, I think can attest to that. John is going to sing from an oratorio by Felix Mendelssohn called Elijah. Elijah was the first sort of great major prophet in the history of Israel. And the story of Elijah, right before what John is going to sing, is Elijah's defeated all the great prophets of Baal, the current religion that was in Palestine. But by doing so, he's created an enemy of the crown, and the queen Jezebel has sworn to find him and to kill him. He finds himself alone in the desert, in the midst of a great wilderness, both outside and also within, as he searches his heart. And this is the prayer that he prays to God. I will tell you that there is a happy ending. He does win at the end. But I find this particular aria to be so powerful and so expressive of where we find ourselves sometime as we journey through life and find ourselves in the wilderness. So. But vanity.
So, last week we drove 6 hours to a little town called Roncevert. We wondered exactly, you know, you don't know exactly how people pronounce the name of their town, but so Taylor and I kind of debated that: is it Ronceverti? Is it Ron? Is it a hard C? Is it a soft C? Anyways, the way they pronounce it down there is Roncevert. But what we found out was that it was actually settled by a Frenchman, and it's a French word, Roncevert, right? But I don't think anybody calls it that down there. It's a town of about 1,200 people. The closest, largest town is Lewisburg, West Virginia. And a little further down is White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia, which some of you golfers may know because that's where the Greenbrier Golf Course is, which is one of the stops for the PGA, which happened to be in town when we were there. And then actually the President of the United States made a stop. I don't think he came to see us, but he came to, but he was at, I think, at Greenbrier, if I got that right. The town was sort of devastated a couple of years ago, that whole area, because of some flash floods, completely unexpected, and in a pattern, the floods were in a pattern that they had never seen before. It was, the creeks and the rivers rose, I think, as much as 20 feet. 23 people were killed. Whole houses were destroyed and literally floated away down the river. I'm going to show you a few slides of some of the things that we did. I will comment briefly, and Taylor, you're welcome to comment briefly with me, unless I get outwitted by an inanimate object. Let's see. Go. So we're getting our morning brief by our. I'm just going to let this run and talk to you a little bit. But we had a couple of site coordinators. Our main three areas of work were tutoring children in the morning, and reading to them in a special morning program where they would come from different communities and would be served lunch as well. The physical project that we had was to paint a community center. Can you all see, or do I need to turn some of the lights off? A third project was to work with a local animal shelter to help out with the care of the animals there. Am I missing something?
I think you pretty much covered it. Right, so we also worked, if we're going through all the different sites we went to, we also did about a half-day project where we shopped for some different snacks to make snack bags for families of people who were in hospice. So we did that for a half day. We made the snack bags. We actually went to the hospice facility. We might see that at some point. And we got a little tour of the hospice facility from a nurse, and our students got to learn what that was and their ministry there.
We're also there for the 4th of July parade. And it was very small-town America. There were veterans there. There were folks making political statements. There were folks running for office. There was, of course, the Miss Fireworks. And I think the Miss West Virginia also made an appearance. They had at least 20, I'm exaggerating, but it seemed like it was endless. The volunteer fire departments that would come from all the different communities, and they had different kinds of floats. Of course, they had community organizations that marched. They had monster truck, pickup trucks. They had an interesting car that I think you'll see in a minute that kind of had a mailbox as part of its engine block. I'm not sure what that was about, but What was really fascinating for the kids was to see a community, not unlike the Strawberry Festival, where the entire community would gather together. It was the gathering spot. And pretty much, if you wanted to be in a parade, I think you just put in for it, and they gave you a number, and you were in the parade. There were churches represented. The Methodist Church, we were impressed with them because they went around and handed people water. They didn't hand anybody tracts about who they were, but that was the only band right there. The kids were surprised that there weren't any bands in the parade, but they did have a piper, and I think that was about it. So, you know, you had everything from monster trucks to, I'm not quite sure what that is, but they were having fun doing that. But what was particularly interested here is, you know, every evening we would have there's the mailbox, yeah. Every evening we would gather together, we would talk about our day, and we would talk about what the youth saw, what they heard, how they expressed what they thought. We also went to a cavern, so those are some of the shots from the cavern. Actually, one of the reasons we went to the cavern is that we stayed in the basement of the Presbyterian Church, the local Presbyterian Church. They had told us it's much cooler in the basement than it is outside. And so that was absolutely true. It was 90 degrees outside and only 80 degrees in the basement. But the kids were wonderful and resilient and cooperative and shared in community. My friends, it was hot. It was hot. The only thing a fan does in hot weather is just blow the hot air around. But the caverns had a steady temperature of 52 degrees. So we went into the cavern to cool off one afternoon. But you can see some of the activities that we did at the animal shelter, reading to the kids. We also went to a nursing home, sort of a living facility. And the kids were invited to go with an adult, in essence, room to room, and knock on the door and just chat with people, which they did. They absolutely did everything we challenged them to do, they did. And Taylor, you want to talk about your brief visit with one of the patients and what you found out about them?
Sure. So we split up with the students, and we each had a leader. So Pastor Francois, myself, and Wynn were our leaders. And so in my group, we had Yvonne and Zoe, and we stumbled upon a room where we had this really nice gentleman. His name was John. And it turned out that he actually, you know, we said we were from Philadelphia, and he is originally from Upper Darby, but he was all the way down in West Virginia, so that was really wonderful. He pulled out his Philly shirt for us, and it was such a meaningful experience, and the two students were so great talking with him, and he actually ended up feeling so moved about our mission trip. He gave us a $10 donation. It was so sweet, and so we really just enjoyed that and our whole time at the nursing home, and the kids really just got a lot out of it. So, and you'll hear some of that. In a few moments here, we'll be reading some quotes from our students, and they talked about just how meaningful it was for them. So,
we also fixed all of our meals ourselves. They were assigned different jobs to do, whether it was to cook, to prepare the salads, to clean up afterwards. So we had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun creating what we were going to eat. Now, you know, we didn't do, you know, beef bourguignon or anything, but we had some fun, and I got to show you that was at the retirement home. That gentleman right there was a avid checker player, and the people at the home refused to play him because he always won. So a couple of our youth challenged him to a couple of games, and as you might guess, he won. But anyway. Mm-hmm. That's the boys' sleeping quarters there, and that's the girls' sleeping quarters. You'll notice that the boys' quarter was so much neater and cleaner than them. Just wanted to point that out. And that's the inside of the church. I think it was built in 1887. They've renovated all of the downstairs so that they could invite mission trips like us and mission groups to come and stay at the church. It was a wonderful facility and a very hospitable group. So, and that was just before we headed home. So we wanted to share with you. We asked. I think that's it, right? We asked the youth to share with us some thoughts on mission and on the work that we did together, and we'll share those with you, and then we'll move on with our service. The most meaningful part of the trip for me was definitely the kids at Energy Express. I really loved seeing how excited the kids were throughout the week. It was such, you know what, hey, let me back up. We told them they could have the day off today. They were tired. We would start the day. They would wake up at around 7:30, and by the time we were done with our devotions and stuff, it was usually around 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night. So we kept them on the run. So that's why they're not here reading these themselves. Okay. The most meaningful part of the trip for me was definitely the kids at Energy Express. I really loved seeing how excited the kids were throughout the week. It was such a good feeling to be able to see how much just our presence at the school meant so much to the kids and how happy they were each day to see us.
Another student said, "Mission means to me helping someone out and doing something to help a community or even just a single life. Mission is something you could do by yourself and as a group. This week we read to children, painted a community center, and walked dogs. All of this was fun and helping someone or something out. This trip was filled with many laughs and filled with so much bonding between each other and with dogs or cats and some of the children or even site directors. This trip was so meaningful, but the most meaningful part of the trip was having a lot of great laughs with the people who are like my family and learning new things about this new place and new people."
The most meaningful part of the trip was connecting and having fun with the kids in the morning. By the end of the trip, I felt like I really formed sort of a bond with a lot of the kids.
"Mission for me is helping others when they need it, or maybe when they don't really need it, but it would be nice. Mission is learning at least a little bit about new people and spending time with them and forming deeper connections with the people you already know. Mission is taking a week out of your busy summer to learn and grow with your youth group. What was the most meaningful part for me? It was seeing the kids light up and be so open to all of us strangers. That was really meaningful. Like, I know kids in general are pretty open, but to see so many be so enthusiastic was great. They all got so attached and very easily, and it shows the innocence that they still have, despite some of the things that they may have gone through.
For me, mission is accomplishing different varieties of things to help people. Helping in a way where the other person feels happy and thankful, and making you feel like you just changed someone's day and just feel proud.
The most meaningful part was probably getting to read to the kids and help the ones who didn't really know how to. It felt great just knowing I left that place and that I helped some kid out to read. However, for a personal one, I'd say I really got to know each and every one of the students who came. It really helped me with my social skills, only because when you're in the same living space as everyone else and you're stuck with them for a whole week, it makes you talk to them, which I think is a great opportunity on my part. I'm surprised I actually was as social as I was, because I really didn't know anyone except Zoe and Yvonne that much. But I'm glad I got to know Maddie, Eva, and everyone else. It's really helped me out big time, and I accomplished more than I thought I would have.
And Taylor didn't want to read this part. And it's all a big thanks to Taylor, especially. If it wasn't for her, I don't know what I'd do. I'm glad I met her. Love her so much.
Another student said, the most meaningful part of the trip for me was Energy Express. Some of the other work we did was still worthwhile, but we were directly helping kids, and that is probably the most important thing we did. Some of the kids got attached to us, and the last day was difficult. I hope that they all can keep getting people to come in to read to them.
For me, it means to help people that need it and to make people smile. All around with the kids and the seniors, I think I made everyone happy. For the kids, reading to them and teaching them and playing with them, and the seniors, just to visit. Some may not have family in the area and not get a ton of visitors. What was the most meaningful part of the trip for me? It was the bonding with everyone and just doing the mission work and getting along. I think it's a very important factor in mission work to get along with everyone, work together, and so on. So those were just some of their thoughts and their experiences as we worked together. When we started, we talked about what does mission mean for you? And I know that that's something that our elders and session have been talking about for a couple of years. How do we do mission? What does mission look like? And I would challenge all of you then to answer that question as well, to think about what it is that we do when we say we're doing mission. For the kids, it was a little bit of giving and also a lot of receiving. And I have found in my many years of doing mission work that oftentimes when you go on a mission trip, you wind up bringing back and receiving at least as much, if not often more, than what you actually gave. Thank you for your support of our youth. Thank you for your support of our youth as they go on mission trips, and blessings. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the opportunity to be your hands and your heart and your eyes and your ears, to share the joy and the grace and the love that we know we have received because of your love for us in Jesus Christ. Thank you for these young people who have taken a week out of their lives, as one said, their busy lives, to share a bit of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ in a different place, to experience what other people are like, what different cultures are like, the way they think, the way they see the world, and to bring that back with us, to make us a little more knowledgeable, a little more understanding, a little more loving. Gracious God, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who shows us the way in all mission work. In all these things, we give you thanks. In Christ's name, amen. Stories or concerns that you'd like to share with the congregation at this time? Yes. Helen was married in this church 64 years ago, minus 2 days, in church. Blessings. Yes, Jenny. That's right. Some of the kids that were that got caught in the cave, I think 4 of them have been rescued. Yes, Edith, yes. Edith's daughter is having surgery on her hands for our carpal tunnel. And what is her name, Edith?
Lisa.
Lisa. We will keep Lisa in our prayers. Pray for Kaylee and for Kyle. Thank you, Pat. Yes, yes.
Our daughter and son-in-law and granddaughter leave tomorrow for 3 years working with the State Department in Iraq. So for safe travels and a successful.
Safe travels to for a 3-year assignment in Morocco for your daughter and
her
granddaughter as well. Okay. Yes, indeed. Yes. Jacqueline Fisher, whose name is a friend of the Cheesems, and her name is in the bulletin, but we'll continue to pray for her and the brain tumor that she is contending with and battling. Yes, B. Home from deployments. I know all about that, and it's good to be reunited at home, indeed. Yes.
My mother had stroke 2 weeks ago, was now in hospice.
And our kids actually, you know, as we mentioned, went to a hospice center but blessings to you and your mom. And one of the things the nurse shared with the kids as a hospice nurse, she said, you know, we birth people into the next stage of life. We birth them into eternity. But she also mentioned to the kids that, you know, the journey of hospice is not just about the person, but it's about the family and the family systems, and working with the family as they, I don't want to make this another sermon, but as they let go, and as the family also trusts and lets go of the person that they love, we'll be in prayer for you, Jim. Yes, Pat. It's good to have loving, cooperative siblings, right? That help with when we are called to care as the sandwich generation, right? As we're called to care for our elders, indeed. Yes. Cindy's thankful for my coming home and Taylor's coming home and the wonderful trip that we've had. And it's not necessarily easy to take 8 teenagers on a trip, but It was truly gratifying and a good trip. Yes, Bob. So Bob is celebrating the birth of his granddaughter 17 years ago and remembering his heart attack 17 years ago. That all sort of took place at the same time. I'm glad you're around, Bob, and celebrating that. Yes. Dwight shares grateful prayers for his nephew Sam, who had a brain tumor. And he is here. Thank God. Yes, Frank. Prayers for Jean Berna, a member of our church, and Janet, and Jean is in the hospital.
MRSA.
Oh, with MRSA. Okay. Yep, Rich. We're going to continue to pray for Debbie Mary's daughter, Mary Rose's daughter, as she continues her journey with significant health issues. Thank you, Rich. Yeah. Yep.
I pray for the mother and the wife that lost their husband and four children in Florida. They were from New Jersey. They don't have a
A mother and wife who lost...
And she lost her husband and her four children in Florida. Yeah. They were from Florida. And they were in Delaware. They were all in New Jersey where they lived. She's in a coma in the hospital.
So this... Okay, so this was obviously a bit of news that I've missed, but... Indeed. Wow, Pastor Taylor, we've got a lot of joys and concerns. Can you lead us in prayer?
Absolutely. Let's gather in together in prayer. Lord God, we come before you again this morning. We are your people, and you are our God. We fall at your feet and cast these our burdens before you, as you are our healer, our wonderful counselor, and mighty God. We ask that you would hear our prayers for those who are sick, for those who have been just diagnosed, for those in surgery, and those in hospice. Be with them and their families. We ask that you would bring them comfort and peace. Lord, we also ask for comfort for those who are in mourning. We pray for them and lift them up as well. For those in danger, grant them safety. For those who are oppressed, grant them justice. And Lord, we ask for your presence to be with those who are serving and who have served in our military. We give thanks for their lives. We also pray your protection over our missionaries, near and far. And God, we also lift up our many joys this morning. We thank you for the joys of marriage and anniversaries, for children rescued, for birthdays celebrated. We thank you for safe returns, and we lift up those who are still traveling and ask for safety there. God, we also lift up prayers for our friends this morning whose names are listed in the bulletin. We ask that you would be with Mary, Dick, Jean, Dave, Jacqueline, Sharon, June, Jen, Jean, Charles, and Barry, and Jenny, and Charles, and Melissa, and John. And now we pray that you would hear these our thoughts and ponderings of our hearts in the silence as we lift them up to you. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We pray all of this in the name of the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. To worship, to bring it around, and to think of how today we basked in the warmth of God. We slowed down and we basked in that light and that rest and that warmth of God. So let us take that light and that warmth and that rest, and go out and spread that to others, that peace of God that we have received here, and know that the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit will be with you now and always. Alleluia. Alleluia. Amen. Alleluia.